All right. Well, I'm back. When I last left you, I was on my way to pick up Poonmaster Flex from the airport so we could spend some days together, and now she's been dropped off. I spent yesterday by myself, and now I'm on my way to one of two dentally type appointments today. I just dropped my iPod on the ground and shattered the screen, which is really unfortunate. I can't believe that just happened. I was like, oh my god, this is, it's like what happened before, but I didn't run it over with my car this time. If we're trying to bright side the whole situation, I did not run it over with my own car, but I did fuck it up, which is pretty unfortunate. Pretty unhappy about the whole situation, if I'm honest. Ruined this first part of my day. And, I dropped off Poonmaster Flex. It was nice having her here for like 4 days, but it was also, it's like one of those things where you're like, you know, this is really nice, but also because I'm a pessimist or a realist or a whateverist, I'm like, it just makes me think about the misery to come. You know what I mean? Like when I picked her up at the airport was the saddest part until I dropped her off, because I already was like, I'm going to be doing this in reverse in like no time, 3 days or something like that. And it's sad. It's real sad. And doesn't make a person very happy. So there you go. That's life. This is how life is going for Pete right now. Not great. Broken iPod. Another fucking appointment in this Fort Collins where it's like, I'm going to drive 40 minutes to get there, and then basically they're going to look at me for 2 seconds and be like, okay, looks fine. Thanks for coming. And I'll be like, yeah, no problem. A huge rock hit my windshield and made a little crack in it, which is cool. I've had this windshield almost 9 months, so that's nice. Not even quite 9 months. It's like if you had a baby and dropped it down the stairs, 7 months in or something, and you're like, okay, well, I fucked that up pretty early. Everything is awful. Nothing is cool because I'm part of no team. Ugh, God. Just a whole lot of, like, why, God? Why? It's raining. That's nice. It's nice to see some rain. And it's, like, nice that it's cooled off a little. It's so hot in my apartment. So here's something that sucks. I live in this building, and they turn on the AC, but they have to turn it on to the whole building. And I think that, like, once they turn it on, it's on, right? Like Donkey Kong. Yeah. I'm going to start saying it's on like Castlevania. That's a better game. Once they turn it on, it's kind of on for good. And so then they don't turn it on until they're absolutely sure that it's like time. But, based on the last week or so of weather, I would certainly say it's time. But, we got an email where they're like, we're going to do our best to turn it on next week, weather permitting, which I was already like, what does that mean, weather permitting, you'll turn on the AC? Like, just turn it on. Maybe it's like a cold day next week when you were going to turn it on. That's fine. I think we'll be fine. And like a cold day right now is like in the 50s, not like 30. So it'd be nice. It would be nice to get it going sooner rather than later, because it's just hot and there's nothing you can do about it. The apartment just kind of cooks. I'm on the second floor, so it's not as bad as somebody on the third floor, let's say, but it's bad. It's pretty bad, pretty untenable, if I can use that term. Pretty much untenable. I don't know why Apple decided to stop making iPods. I mean, I do know why. It's because, you know, money. They're like, well, we can't make money off of that the way we can off of, like, just use your phone for everything. If you just use your phone for everything, then we've got you connected to everything at the same time. And we've got you, like, connected to the iTunes store, and we've got all this shit, right? But, like, I don't want to bring my phone with me all the time. Or I don't want to be hooked up to my phone all the time. You know what I mean? Like, oh, it's so convenient. Oh, da 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 da. And it's like, yeah, I mean, it's fine, but I don't really want that. It's kind of like how I feel about, you know, the Kindle. Is like, I like the Kindle, and there are some things that are great about the Kindle. And there are some things about the Kindle where I kind of feel like, you know, it's cool and all, but like, eh. A book is fine. And the iPod, it makes me mad. It makes me upset. So I'm like, the iPod is like the best thing you ever made. And then you're like, we're not going to make it anymore. And yet we're still going to make like the iPad. And what are we going to do? Let's make it big. And then 2 years later, let's make it small. And it's just like, you could keep changing the size of your existing product, or you could, like, I don't know, continue to make a thing that actually works and is good and that I like. That's the curse of it, though. I liked it, so that's what caused the problem. It was my own clumsiness that destroyed mine. I'm not gonna lie. And, you know, there may be some residual sadness here for the object because, you know, of sadness for other things. Just realize the way I'm driving right now was foolish. Gotta drive through Windsor. Windsor's awful. Because Windsor is, like, famous for if you drive through town, you know, and you go over the speed limit, they will bust your ass. No problem. No quarter given. Also, something I've been noticing lately, like work trucks and shit, seem to have no problem. They pull out onto a road, and they know damn well they're not going to be going fast enough that the rest of the traffic is going to have to slow down for them. But they seem to pull out onto a road when it's like, eh, close enough. You know, I'm not going to have to slam on the brakes, but holy shit, is it like a bad idea. I saw a truck, like a big pickup truck, pull out. And it was going, you know, the traffic was going probably 50 miles an hour. It was right off the highway. And it pulls out, and it almost got slammed into by, like, an armored car. You know, to pick up bank deposits and shit. And I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me right now. Like, you have got to be fucking kidding me. Why would you do that? Why would you make that happen? I don't know. I'm just a little tired, a little frustrated, a little upset. At the end of our last show, I was talking about the three things I would want, you know, from a job, from a boss or some shit. And the thing I came up with, because I couldn't really come up with anything. Because I think I'm thinking about this like an evil boss, right? Like the evil boss who says, you can have three things, and then it's like a genie where I say, I want these three things, and then they're like, haha, you'll make no money, you know what I mean? Like, they'll give me nothing but those three things, so you better choose carefully. So I had my two things, and then I think I was paralyzed with indecision on the third, because I was like, well, how am I going to make that work, you know? I was putting a lot of pressure on that third item. But I came up with an interesting one that I thought was good. Boonmaster Flex didn't like it, but I was like, no. Because I presented it as, I should ask this at my next job interview. When they're like, do you have questions for us? I should be like, yes, and then ask this question. But I would want to know, I am curious at jobs, like, what's the sort of office, I don't want to say policy, but what's the temperature of the office as far as, what if I had a bottle of booze in my desk drawer and like two glasses, not for daily consumption, not to like just tolerate working here, but for the sort of the occasional need for celebration. You know what I mean? Occasionally something happens, right, where you're like, hey, this is pretty cool. Do you like my cool guy voice there? Hey, this is pretty cool. You know, there's an occasional need for celebration, right? Celebration time. Come on. So what is the office policy? Now, this isn't... And the thing is, it's not really because I desperately want to have booze in my desk. That's not really the thinking there. It's more like... It's a way of, like, taking temperature of the office. If I'm taking the temperature of the office and it's like, hey, what are their thoughts on the booze? And they're like, you know, certainly not officially sanctioned, but we wouldn't freak the fuck out if that happened. It's kind of like, I still remember this was like years ago, but I was walking by and there was a bank. And they were working, it was like way after hours, you know, it was like 7 p.m. or something like that. It was dark. And they're in there, and they're all in the basement, and, you know, sleeves rolled up and shit. And they're working on something, clearly, but they did have beers. And I was sort of like, you know, that's like a good work environment. Not because I'm saying that you got to be drunk to enjoy work, but it helps. That would be a good bumper sticker. Instead of like, you don't have to be crazy to work here, but it helps. Instead, be like, you don't have to be drunk to work here, but it helps. Next line, I know. Next line, from experience. Next line, extensive experience. Just really like push the limits of what HR can accept as a hilarious bumper sticker. And you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I think this is clearly a joke, right? I mean, come on. Extensive experience? Obviously, I don't have extensive experience with that. Huh. I'm joking. And I saw these bankers doing this shit, right? And was just thinking sort of like, well, that's kind of nice that they can, they're like, all right, we got this thing to do. It probably sucks because I would think most work sucks. So, I mean, that shouldn't be a big surprise. But then, you know, they're like, we got to do this paperwork, this nonsense. I mean, they had papers all over the damn desk. And so they're like, you know, the better we can do here, the more we can get done here, the better. So let's just bang this out. And, it's not going to harm us to have a beer while we do it. So it's not at all about the drinking. I don't even know if I would have booze in my desk because I'd just be like, eh, whatever. I'm not really that interested. But it does seem like maybe that would... it tells you something about the office. Something that I'm interested to discover. Which is like... What's the real office environment like here? You know what I mean? What's it really like to work here? What should I expect from my coworkers as far as, you know, casualness versus non-casualness? What's a reasonable expectation? So anyway, I guess that would be the other thing I'd ask for is be like, I want to keep a celebratory booze in my desk at all times, and be able to deploy it at will. But, you know, that's not... It's weird, because it's like, if you could ask for three things, and that's one of the things I'm asking for, but I don't even really want it. I just want something like it. Oh, God. Driving is the worst. Like, driving to a thing you don't want to go to is the worst. I don't know. It's like everyone gets excited about driving or is like, I don't really mind driving and whatever. And I don't mind driving either as a concept. But I think when people think of driving, they're imagining themselves going like, 65 on an open two-lane highway. There's no cars going around. You know what I mean? It's sort of like, this is why driving a motorcycle sucks. Like, a motorcycle is a great for funsies vehicle, but it's not like a great do all your shit vehicle. Because you're just like, I mean, you spend 90% of your time going 5 miles below the speed limit behind some jerk off who just doesn't care when they get where they're going. Because they're like, I'm on the clock now, so fuck it. Like, it doesn't matter. I show up when I get there. You get behind, like, that Comcast truck, and you just know that they're like, well, I have a 4-hour window for my next appointment. So there you go. But yeah, had a good visit with Poon Master Flex. It was nice. We just kind of hung out a lot. We didn't do much. It was good. Went and saw a movie. Went and saw A Quiet Place. You know, we could have seen, I guess, Avengers Infinity War or something. I didn't know. I still haven't seen Black Panther, but I kind of assumed. Jesus fucking Christ. I'm getting, like, text messages like crazy, and it's making me angry. I get angry. I have a phone, and it accepts text messages, and I get angry when I get a lot of them. Because I'm just like, oh my god, leave me alone. And also, I'm just like, can you send this in like one message instead of sending me 5 messages about the same thing? Because I don't need all of this information, okay? Send me the information I need. And let's leave the rest be. Or, you know, if we're having a conversation, we can have a conversation. But I don't think we need to get crazy here. I got my new Chuck Palahniuk book yesterday. That was exciting. I haven't read it yet. I was reading a comic book, Miracle Man, which was pretty good. I had a resistance moment because so I wrote this column and it was like, you know, speculation on the new Marvel movies, because they announced a bunch of new movies and they also announced like 6 open slots that they haven't actually picked yet. So they're like, well, we're gonna have these movies on, you know, June 2024 or some shit, but we don't know what they are yet. So I just, you know, for funsies, wrote a column, speculated on what they might be. And as I'm doing this, you know, I'm like, whatever. Like, I put in a bunch of jokey ones and some real ones and all that kind of stuff. But it was very lighthearted. And it's just like, how many times do I have to learn the lesson of making a list of things is how you find out from really helpful people, like, stuff you should have included or whatever. And this time, it was even worse because, like, one of the things someone put in there was, like, oh, so you had to put Squirrel Girl and hide it at the end. And there is a Squirrel Girl TV show. And I was like, first of all, there's a Defenders TV show that she's going to be on. Okay? I really hate when people are like trying to school me on this stuff. Because I'm like, listen, I don't put up a column like this without doing some legwork first. Like, you know what? I'll be honest. I had no fucking idea there was an Inhumans TV show. It's apparently, you know, one of these shitty shows that's just out there. But yeah, I knew there was a Defenders show, but that's not a Squirrel Girl show. She's at best like a quarter of that. Anyway, but I said that and also it was like, oh, so you had to put Squirrel Girl at the end because, you know, she's, I don't know what the person's point was, like, because it's like a female character or something. And I was like, I put like 5 female characters above that. And also I was like, so what? I should put Miss Marvel last? Why? Because she's Muslim? You know. But I resisted saying anything to that one because I was just like, oh, whatever. This is just someone being an asshole and just being like, oh, so you put it at the end. It got, you know what got to me about it? Is because I was like, you know, it's one thing if I just don't include something and people are like, so there's no female characters on here. And Pete is not so stupid as to do that. I mean, I'm not dumb enough to be like, oh, okay. But this person was like angry that I included them in the order that I did. And it's not even like I went, you know, guy, girl. It was like guy, girl. And this one character happened to be one of the last ones. I put, you know, Dazzler on there. I put Ms. Marvel on there. Black Widow's on there. You know what I mean? All kinds of shit. And you're asking, you're like, what the hell? So that's what got to me, is I was like, so now it's about the order of this one character. And it's like, so the premise is that if you'd read this column and this one character had been in a different order, you would have been like, nice job, good wrap up. But because this one character was not in the order that you preferred, you're like, fuck you, misogynist bastard. I mean, what the fuck? What is the world we live in? But the one that was really hard to resist commenting, because, well, okay, so I put Miracle Man on there, which Marvel owns and has reprinted in the last, like, 10 years or something. It was a long legal battle for who owned it. I think it was Epic or something like that. Some other company. Some other company owned Miracle Man, and it was in contention for a long time. But Marvel definitely owns it now. This is easily discovered by either looking on Wikipedia or looking up the, you know, recent-ish reprints of Miracle Man, which, you know, people wanted to see for a long time. And it took a long time for those to come out. And they finally did. And it was because, you know, Marvel finally got the rights and put them out. It's a long story. Neil Gaiman's involved. It's crazy. Point being, if you put any work into looking into this, it's pretty easy to see that Miracle Man is a Marvel-owned property right now. And so, of course, the comment I get on the article is, Miracle Man's not a Marvel property, so it shouldn't be on this list. And I was just like, motherfucker. Motherfucker. You know what I mean? That's like all I could say in my head, was like, motherfucker. And sometimes, you know, I'm like, I know what the right thing to do is. And I did do the right thing, which is just ignore the comment. Just don't even engage. You know, but it eats me alive. Because I want to go back at this guy and be like, listen, asshole. Here are like 5 links. The first 5 Google hits, if you look up who owns Miracle Man, and you'll find out pretty quickly that it's Marvel. So fuck you and fuck off. But I don't do that, because I just feel that, like, these people who do this sort of thing, that's what they want. They want that reaction, or they want a reaction. They want to be counted and heard. But I'm like, you know, if you want to be counted and heard, do something worth counting. Like, give me something of substance. Give me something substantive to talk to you about. You know what I mean? Don't just say, like, something that's not true. And it's like, you know, it was funny because in these 2 comments, I was, like, torn between 2 worlds. I listened to, because I'm a Max Fun donor, I got Max Fun bonus content. And one of the pieces was Jesse Thorne doing a talk about basically ethics in sort of running an arts-based business. You know, it was pretty good. I mean, it was interesting to hear what his opinions and thoughts were on things. One thing, though, I thought was really rang true for me was he was talking about, you know, a lot of the art world is based on, or, you know, one way to get attention is to go the standard route of either pandering or trolling. You know, these are kind of the 2 easy roads to getting attention online and, like, with your art project or your arts thing, is pandering and trolling. And I totally agree with that, because I think that, you know, and I liked that he wasn't just talking about trolling, but was talking about pandering in the same way, Which is like, if you're just saying something that you don't really believe, but for the sake of telling people that, for the sake of not even telling people, for the sake of making people pay attention to you, because it's like, well, I'm going to pander to this group because then they'll pay attention to my article, or I'm going to troll this group and they're going to pay attention to me. It's like, those are both effective ways to get people to pay attention to you, but they're not effective ways to do good work, was kind of the point of his whole thing, if I understood it correctly. Like, you know, that'll work for a while and you'll get people to pay attention to you, but ultimately you're not going to look back and be like, oh, I'm so proud of the work I did on that.
And
that's what I felt. I was like, that's what, like, these comments have become, is like pandering and trolling. You know what I mean? Poonmaster Flex follows, you know, a bunch of cat-related Instagrams, right? And they talk about TNR all the time. Trap, neuter, release. So, you know, you trap a feral cat, you neuter it so it can't have kittens in the wild, and then re-release it, because it's like, what are you going to do for it? Some of these feral cats can't be adopted, and most people don't want to adopt a feral cat. And, you know, an adult feral cat is, like, pretty hard to integrate into your family. So anyway, someone will post something about this on a, you know, very cat-oriented Instagram account, and then inevitably, like, a dozen people will comment on it and be like, what's TNR? And you're like, motherfucker, why don't you look it up? TNR cat. Just look it up for yourself. It'll take you 2 seconds to find out that it means trap, neuter, release. And then you'll know. And it's like, what? How many times is the individual who does this stuff supposed to get on here and be like, explain this to every idiot? Like, every individual idiot. It's so crazy because we have these great tools to find out stuff like that. I mean, if you're on Instagram, I think it's very safe. If you're commenting on Instagram, I think it's very safe for me to assume that you are in possession of the tools needed to look up the meaning of something you don't know the meaning of, right? Like, that seems pretty obvious to me. It's like, how am I ever going to find this information? And I was like, it's not 1994 where you're like, how would I know that? It's whatever, 2018? It's 2018! I mean, we've had, like, the means to do that for, like, a decade. You know, most people are holding, like, a smartphone in their hand and just whatever. By the way, if I had dropped my phone over my iPod, I mean, I'm becoming in need of a new phone at some point in the near future. And if that had broken, it would have been like, well, I guess I'll just have to get a new phone. I mean, it was inevitable. And this forces my hand, you know? That would have been fine. Just sort of lamenting. Just doing some lamenting. Don't mind me. Just mourning the loss. Still not over it. Is anger one of the stages of grief, I think? And bargaining? Where I'm like, take my phone instead. You know, I was making a deal with the devil. And he was like, bah. And I was like, because the devil's Dracula now. Bleh. Driving on this country road, and we're going really, really slow, and there's a truck pulling a trailer, and it's just got the hazards going. And you're just like, okay. You know, sometimes it just seems like people will turn on their hazards as like a way of saying, like, I'm going to drive poorly. Like, this is going to be a bad experience for everyone. Hope you're excited. I'm like, you know, the hazards are not like permission to just do whatever you want. You know that, right? It's like some people seem to feel that if you turn on your hazards, you can like drive in reverse down the highway and weaving in and out of two lanes. And you're like, I mean, I had my hazards on, so, you know, all bets are off. Who knows? I warned the world that anything could happen, and something happened. Who's in the wrong here? I don't know. Not me, that little guy from Family Circus. Family Circus. I was tricked by that as a kid. That Family Circus. Where it's like, oh, isn't it crazy what a life we have? And I'm like, yeah, maybe mom and dad should have looked into some birth control. If they were, like, not ready to handle all these kids. And then, like, mom got a short haircut. I remember as a kid, I was like, this mom's haircut actually looks much better short. Like, she's much better looking as a cartoon mom. But it was weird because it was like, I've been looking at this lady for... It's like, you know, if your dad had a mustache and then he shaved it, you'd be like, huh. He probably looks better, but it's a weird experience. It's a weird experience to see somebody with a mustache for like 10 years and then no mustache. Because you're like, what happened? You want there to be a story. You want there to be like a, what happened to the mustache? Oh my God. That's a tale old as time. And I'm like, I kind of doubt that, but okay. Go on. I'll allow it. I'll allow it just for the sake of not fighting you on it, because that doesn't seem worth it. Ugh. There's a guy on a bike in the rain. I feel bad for those guys, like, if they're going to work. I mean, if they're not going to work, I'm sort of like, eh, it was a choice to be out in the rain and riding the bike. And, like, going out for a run in the rain is nice. But if you're, like, walking from a thing to a thing and it's raining like crazy, that's not as nice. Not the same. It's like, if you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain, and I'm like, I mean, I don't mind being in the rain sometimes, but I don't know if I'd say I love being caught in the rain. Like, where the rain is like, fuck you, we got you. Oh, we got you. I always wonder, like, if that song... I've never looked it up. I should look up whether that song has a different meaning than it's, you know, like Mr. Tambourine Man, and like everyone loves to be like, did you know that's about drugs? And you're like, I mean, I assumed it was not about a guy really asking a guy with a tambourine to play him a fucking song. Because how many songs can you play on tambourine alone? To my knowledge, the tambourine has one note. So it's like, I guess if it's a very rhythm-based song, you could do it. But otherwise, like, what the fuck? Mr. Tambourine Man. Did you know that's about drugs? I didn't know it was about drugs, but I sure as hell didn't think it was about a tambourine. Because why would it be? I mean, that's nuts. Tambourine Man. Ugh. Is that Bob Dylan? I feel like it is, but I don't know. I feel like it's Bob Dylan, just because I feel like Bob Dylan is one of these guys where everyone's like, oh, he's so deep. His lyrics are so deep. And I'm like, I mean, sure, fine. I'm not going to fight you on it. I have feelings about it, but I'm not going to bother expressing them. This is a new procedure for Pete. I have feelings about a thing, but I'm not going to bother expressing them to you. I don't think anyone has paid attention at a stoplight since the invention of the cell phone. Like, it's just, it's craziness. But on that note, like, while you're at the stoplight, again, look up TNR if you're curious. Don't comment and ask. It makes me crazy, too, when people ask shit like that. Because it's sort of like, okay, I'm some, you know, I'm Kitten Lady on Instagram. I have, like, hundreds of thousands of followers who are doing this stuff, and you think I have time to answer the same stupid ass question over and over? And like, for you especially, like, just for you, buddy, I got you. I'll answer your question. Your time is, you know, I want to save you time. That's what's important. It's me saving you time, me using my time not to rescue kittens, but to tell you what an acronym means, and then to explain, you know, once I tell you what the acronym means, what that means. That's a good use of my time. It's sort of like, you know, if you didn't get your fucking mail, and then you're like, talking to Donald Trump about it because it's like, well, that's the government. He's in charge of the government. And it's like, eh, I guess. But I mean, that's not going to get you anywhere. And also, don't you think he's going to be like, what the fuck do I know about the mail? I mean, you didn't get your mail. But by the way, I have not been getting my mail at my home. Poonmaster Flex has sent me 2 cards now, which have not arrived. Which is highly suspicious, because she sent other cards to other folks, and they did arrive. And I was like, I think you should send a fancy-looking card, and then just put something inside that says, like, mailman, we know what you're doing. My mom suggested, possibly, that, you know, the mailman will retire, and he'll be one of those guys that's got, like, you know, 15 years of shit mail he didn't deliver stacked up in his garage. I don't understand how the mail works, but it seems to be that you go to work, you deliver the mail, and like once the mail is delivered, you're done. Like you get to go home. Which seems like a bad idea, because it seems like we're incentivizing people to do exactly like stuff their garage full of mail. Although, I mean, if you're going to do that, that's cool, but like maybe you could stuff it with, you know, shit mail instead of real mail? Anywho, can you tell I'm stitching together getting to the dental office and then leaving? Periodontal? I have, so 2 hours from now, I have another appointment with an orthodontist, but he's basically going to shave down my retainer in one spot because it basically rubs against this one spot and has like destroyed the gum tissue there. It's like I just have problem after problem. But I did want to go back and finish some of those job interview questions. I don't know if I wanted to, but it seemed like a good way to kill the time, no? So I'm going to get back into these. This one says, what do you think of lava lamps and Dilbert? I think lava lamps are pretty cool. I guess. I mean, I don't... You know what lava lamps are like? Lava lamps are a lot like how I feel about dogs right now, which is like, they seem pretty cool, and I'd like to think I live a life where I would have those things, lava lamps or dogs, and or dogs. But it's also like, eh, they're pretty cool, but probably not for me, I think is how I would summarize my feelings about those two things. It's just like, God, this sounds so horrible. I'm about to be like, I think a lava lamp is too much responsibility for me. But I think it is. It's like, I think they get really hot, right? I do think something cool about lava lamps, though, is that they've seemed to have been around, like, forever. And so that seems like a pretty cool technology to have way back in the day. I'm probably inappropriately or unduly impressed by, or duly impressed, I don't know, overly impressed by the lava lamp technology, considering that, like, you know, we also went to fucking space, or like, you know, I don't know, you could play God of War 4. That's definitely more entertaining and interesting than a lava lamp, but there used to be all these things that we had, you know, like, okay, probably the most famous one is like the little metal balls on the desk where you like swing the one and it clacks the other ones, and then the one on the very end of the thing swings outwards because of, you know, science. I feel like there used to be a lot of that kind of thing around. I remember there were a lot of sort of, I don't know what the material inside was, but it was like little blobs of oil or gel or something. And then inside of water, and so it would make like a water wheel go or something. They were kind of like weird versions of a sand clock. What do you call that thing? Jesus Christ, I can't even remember what that thing's called. You know, the sand clock. The hourglass. Thank you, Jesus fucking Christ. The days of our lives. There used to be a lot of that shit around, and I feel like that's gone by the wayside, but I don't know. I like a nice sand clock here and there. I'm into that. I'm into that whole thing of, I don't know. It's kind of like, I wish I didn't have to use my phone as an alarm, and I've kind of considered, I'm like, maybe I should just use my old, I have an Android that I'm like, I don't use it for anything. Maybe I should just use it as an alarm clock, hook it up to Wi-Fi, and just, you know, fucking do it that way. And you could set the alarm for the week and then go from there, maybe? I don't know. It's an idea. Anyway, the revenge of analog. Am I right, guys? What do I think of Dilbert? I think Dilbert's pretty funny. I mean, okay, I haven't read it in a decade. So I was reading it, to be fair, I was reading Dilbert as a guy who, I'd had jobs, but I mean, there was nothing remotely like an office job. You know, it was fast food jobs and stuff. But I mean, I think the humor still translates of like, boss is an idiot or something like that. It's like, eh, okay. I just referenced a Dilbert comic not that long ago because it was about, I was talking to Poon Master Flex about, you know, cards, like getting cards and stuff, and how what I started doing is I started, because, you know, you don't want to like, you feel bad throwing them away, like immediately, but also they sit on, I put them on the fridge, they're on the fridge for like a few months, and then I'm like, well, all right, I don't need this card anymore. And then you read the inside and you're like, that was pretty nice. Maybe I should hang on to it. You feel, basically you hold on to these cards out of an obligation slash enjoyment. But there's an element of like, man, this person put this nice thing in this card and now I don't want to just get rid of it. So I started digitizing them. Because, you know, one of my life plans here is, like, I'm going to get a digital frame and put a bunch of my paper stuff that I don't want into a frame. For example, I have lots of books that, you know, various comrades in the world of writing and literature have signed for me. And, you know, I don't necessarily need to keep the whole book, but I'm like, I don't want to get rid of the signature page. That was really nice of them to do that. So I tore those out and scanned them, you know, and then they'll come up in pictures. And so anyway, all that to say, I referenced a Dilbert comic because it was like, it was Dogbert's Guide to Life or something. And basically it was like, here's a difference between men and women. And it was like, woman, and you know, oh, I got this card. I'll cherish it forever. Thank you so much. And guy, and he's like, oh, great card. Thank you so much. And then he's immediately stuffing it in a garbage can. And what always made, like, Dilbert comics funny to me was there's something about the drawing style that was really weird and kind of hilarious. Like, this guy, not only is the guy throwing the comic away, it's one thing, it's like, oh, I tossed it in the trash. This guy is, like, doing the move where it's like, this trash is a little too full, so I'm going to use this greeting card, which was oversized in the comic, to, like, shove down as a platform to shove the other trash down. It's the little extra touches that really make something like Dilbert work, you know what I mean? And that's what I would call the little extra touch, is, like, he's not just throwing it away. He is cramming it in the garbage with complete disregard for what the item is. I don't know. I thought that was funny. I remember another image. I don't remember exactly what was going on, but it was like a restaurant and there was a baby there being loud, and Dogbert basically stuffed a baguette in the baby's mouth. So it was like sticking out of the baby's mouth, silencing the baby, and it had a very surprised look on its face. That was a good one too. Just the image. And I think he was saying, like, I need more bread, please. Because he'd used his bread to stuff in a baby's mouth to quiet it in a restaurant. I mean, I gather that... So what do I think of Dilbert? I think it's funny. I think it's, like, a good use of... I don't know. How many, like, truly funny comic strips have there been? You know, there's some. And then there's not a ton, though. So I think the comic strip that's funny is rare. And I would put Dilbert in that category. I just was reading, what was it? There's some, what's the one? Nancy. I was like, what's the one with Sluggo in it? Nancy and Sluggo. that like someone's like, oh my god, Nancy is like still going and it's got this new writer and it's totally hilarious. And it was like, I don't know, they made some joke about Snapchat filters or something, and I was like, ugh, kill me. Like, just kill me. I don't know. It was not to my taste. So anyway, and like, I think that's something that differentiates lots of older comics from newer comics is like, I think when comics get into technology, you know, this is like a little inside info, but like when I was writing the Pete's Unsent love letters, all those letters, and I was trying really hard not to include things like text messages in them. I mean, I did a phone call, but I didn't say when, or, you know, there wasn't a lot of computer, there wasn't a lot of texting, there wasn't a lot of anything like that, because I felt like that was a different book. Like, I felt like dating it with technology, I'm not saying, like, never date something with technology, because that's a bad idea, but I think that when you put the technology in there, it does something different to the story. It tells a different story. It tells a story a little bit about the technology, and like something like a Pete's Unsent love letters, if it was if it had that technological element to it, there'd have to be some shit about, you know, oh, I looked up my ex-girlfriend on Facebook or something, and I was just like, I just don't want to do that. Like, I'm just not interested in it. It's just not my thing. It's somebody's thing, but it's not mine. You know, or like, I could see someday in the future doing something similar to the love letters, but doing it in a more technology-based way. I mean, I think you could totally write a good book that's got heavy technology base, and heavy right now technology base, because think about it. I mean, you know, I don't know. I guess I don't know this. I was about to say, like, cassette tapes, you know, are charming now, whereas before they were just technology. They were just, you know, whatever, today's thing. And now they're not charming. Or, you know, now they're charming. But I don't know if, like, you know, or I know people have an affection for, like, their Motorola Razr phones and shit. But I don't know. I wonder if that stuff will be charming in the future, or if it's kind of like technology has come so fast and disposable that it sort of doesn't matter. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? Da-da-da-ba-da-da. Design a spice rack for the blind. Okay. Well, if you're thinking right now, just put, you know, Braille on the spices, you would definitely, that would be part of it. But I don't think that's the rack, A. And B, what a pain in the ass. And C, you don't want to just have to look through every single one, right, to get the one you want. So how would I do that? How would I design a spice rack for the blind? I mean, ideally you'd want the containers to have a set space, and then like the container only fits into that space so you don't use the wrong thing. And maybe you arrange it, I don't know if alphabetically is the best, or like by type, or frequency of use maybe? Because like it's sort of, you know, if you've got someone cooking and they use majorum all the time, I'll be like, well, let's put that first, because then you won't have to look for it. And then the less frequent the use, you know, the more time you'll have to spend looking for it. But that's cool, because like ultimately that saves you time, right, if it's arranged by frequency. I think that could work. I don't know, there's got to be a lot of things. I always assume there's a lot of like products for blind people, or like ways of doing things for blind people. I read this book one time by a guy who was like, I don't know, in his 40s, 50s, something, and had some kind of, you know, disorder, disturbance. What's the word I'm looking for? Disease, something, where he was going blind. And so he was having to learn how to navigate the world as a blind person. And, you know, I remember one of the things was like, when they got bills, they folded them a certain way, you know what I mean? So that they knew, like, when you reach into your wallet, okay, that's a 50, that's a 20, whatever. I mean, some technology, I guess, has to be real nice for blind people. Because, like, using a card instead of using cash has got to be pretty great. Because you don't have to worry about that shit anymore. And you don't have to worry about some dishonest individual giving you singles when they should be giving you fives for change. Although, what kind of fucking asshole do you have to be? Like, a blind guy comes in and pays for a thing with a 20, and you give them the wrong change on purpose? Like, what the hell is wrong with you? I just always, you know, I always thought, like, being blind would suck. I mean, it doesn't have to, like, totally limit the parameters of your life. But it would just be kind of shitty and much easier to get by with, you know, if everyone else is kind of pitching in a tiny little bit. You know, people don't have to do your laundry for you, but, like, it would be nice if people who saw you dropped a sock in the hallway at your apartment were like, hey, buddy, you dropped a sock in the hallway. You know what I'm saying? Would it be totally unscrupulous and bad, you know, like, your landlord? Our landlord just emailed us and was like, hey, if you don't have a handicap thing, plate or card or whatever, don't park in the handicap spot because we're going to start towing people. Because there are handicapped people who live in the building who need those spots. Which is totally true and totally fucked up because, I don't know, it's not like the non-handicap spots and the handicap spots are in vastly different spots. It's just like the handicap ones are closest to the building. And it's like, yeah, I mean, why would you park there? Now, to be fair, at my apartment, the lines are very poorly drawn, so you might not notice. If you parked there for the first time or you were visiting someone and you parked there and it was night, you might not even know you were on the handicap spot. But after a little bit of time, it should be pretty obvious. And so, like, I wonder, though, how unscrupulous is it to be, like, for example, you know, we can't have anyone make sure and keep the hallway clear because we have a blind person who lives in the building. And so, you know, for their safety and ease of getting around, let's keep the hallway clear. Don't put your shoes out in the hallway. I have a lot of people in my building, like, leave their boots in the hallway next to their door, which isn't, like, a big deal. But I don't know. I could just see if I was a landlord. There's going to be something. Every so often, there's going to be some issue that arises that you're like, motherfuckers, you know what I mean? This pisses me off. I may be wrong, but I don't care. It still pisses me off. So I wonder how, like, unscrupulous it would be to use that. I always think about that, too. Like, I always thought about when I was out running or walking, a lot of people will park, like, a truck in the driveway so that it blocks the sidewalk. And I'm sure that that's illegal, but I'm sure it's also something that, you know, people don't have time for. But I've always considered, like, how wrong would it be for me to leave, like, a sticky note on the truck that's like, hey, asshole, I'm in a wheelchair and I couldn't get by. It seems like tempting fate somehow, you know, like, then I'm going to end up actually being that situation, which I don't want to do. But, you know, how wrong is that to make someone consider, like, hey, consider what if? Consider how difficult it is for someone in a wheelchair to get by on public streets and sidewalks as it is, and you blocking the sidewalk is bad. So there you go. That's my thought process for design a spice rack for the blind. Why are manholes round? Oh, I actually know the answer to that. There is an answer. It's a... Well, the manhole cover is round, and I assume the manhole is round, because then the cover can't fall inside of the hole. So in other words, put it at any angle and the cover won't fall inside the opening of the hole, whereas like a square, you can kind of put it at a diagonal and then it will fall right through. I don't know why that's mega important that those don't fall through, but apparently it is. And maybe it's not mega important, but it seems like one of those, you know, we figured out this way to do it, and like, why the hell not? Why the hell not make it so the manhole cover doesn't fall through? It saves us some time, saves us some energy. It's cool, let's do it. I don't know. Makes sense to me, I guess. So that's why. I mean, that's a boring answer. I feel like that doesn't go with the spirit of the activity here, but what would you do? You walk out of this interview and find in the parking lot a lottery ticket worth $10 million. What would you do? Huh. That's kind of a shitty job interview question, I think, to ask. Because, like, I am not a fan of job interview questions that basically force people to come up with a lie and not really answer that. You know, what is your greatest weakness? It's like, that question is really, how good of a fake thing can you come up with that's not... You don't want to go with the, like, I work too hard or I'm too dedicated, because that's obvious. But, like, what's the closest I can come to that without crossing over? You know what I mean? Where I can be like, oh, sometimes my emails are very direct and come off to some individuals as terse. And so I've been working on being a little more, working on the salutation, working on just amping up the friendliness to what me seems like maybe a little much. But I understand to other people it seems like the right amount. So trying to just balance that. I would say one of my weaknesses is my, you know, tendency to go that way. And the important thing is knowing that that's my weakness, right? So you got to come up with something like that. But I mean, really, it's like, what is my weakness at work? And I'd be like, oh, I don't know, probably something like... I get bored pretty easily, or like I get frustrated when I feel like I'm not shouldering the equal load of everyone else. Like we're not all participating on the same level. That's frustrating. I get frustrated when I get paged out to do something like clean a bathroom, and then I get another page like while I'm cleaning a bathroom that's like, someone needs help finding primary sources for research paper. And I'm like, okay, well, I can clean a bathroom or do that, but not both at the same time. So maybe you want to do, whoever paged me, maybe you want to do one of those two things while I, you know, I do the other. I will leave it up to you which one you want to do. But maybe you got to pick one, huh? Maybe you got to kind of make a decision here. Anywho, so what would I mean, so like, that's a dumb question, because I mean, who, I think most people, right, are probably going to say some version of, I mean, never work again, right? Like, fuck it. What would I do if I got $10 million? I mean, retire? I don't know. Get online, take a Linda class about investments. Figure out the best way to invest this money so that it can last the rest of my life. Decide how much to give to people in my life that I think is reasonable. You know what I mean? That, like, isn't going to leave me totally broke, but also seems fair. I mean, like, how much do you give your brother? Like a million? 10%? Because if you do that, though... A man in my situation, I don't even have a lot of relatives, but it's like, well, you're just going to end up giving away half, right? And can you live on $5 million? Probably, right? You probably, can I live the rest of my life on $5 million? I mean, if you divide it into $50,000 a year or something, yeah, I guess so. I mean, probably, right? So it'd be 20 years for, yeah. So I should be able to live like another 80 years or something. So that should do me pretty well, to be honest, if I was smart. But that's 10 million, right? Or 5 million, whatever. What would I do? I mean, I think I would just be like, I think I would probably, once I had the money in hand, I think I would continue with the job process until I had the money, and then call them and be like, listen, I won $10 million, and I know this is an unusual situation. I don't feel great about burning a bridge, but also feel that, burning a bridge, but I don't think that's a river I'm going to be crossing again. I don't know if I'm going to be looking for employment again. And if I do, I'll be looking for employment in, like, 30 years when I've blown this money much faster than I anticipated. But I don't think I'm going to be looking for another job in 2 months. So, you know, life is for the living. I've been handed something pretty exciting, and I'm going to take it. So, good luck with your job search. Thanks. I mean, that's what anyone would do, right? At best. I mean, I think the more likely thing is a lot of people, if they won $10 million, would just be like, well, fuck it. I always ask people at work, like, okay, you win the Powerball, you win $250 million. Do you put in 2 weeks' notice? And everyone's like, yeah, I would work 2 more weeks or something. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I think I would just be like, I'm quitting. And, you know, I'll come in, I'll wrap up the things that need to be wrapped up. But, like, I got to be honest. You know, if one of my coworkers left us a little in the lurch because they won $250 million, I think I'd be like, I mean, that's pretty understandable. And, you know, what difference does it make? They don't need a fucking job reference later. Yeah, it would be crazy. It would be crazy. I may start my own business of some kind, because that way, if I did have to get a job at some point, I could be like, oh, yeah, well, I was in business for myself for about 10 years. So, you know, that way, you were, like, doing something, you were being entrepreneurial, but also, you don't have any, like, fucking job references, and that makes sense. So I think that's the way I'd go. That's the way it is. Okay. So now I gotta go to work, print off a thing, go to a book club for some high school kids, then go to another appointment, then come back, and then that's like when my real work day begins, once I've taken care of all this other crap. It's not all crap, but it's stuff. It's a weird work day. I don't love it. I don't love the situation I'm in right now, y'all. It's very, go here, go there. Pete is putting in the miles today. Fort Collins, Johnstown. That's it, but still. Yeah, but still. Okay. And the quick way to Johnstown is kind of closed off right now. That's sort of a bummer. That's sort of a bum hole. But, all right. We'll see you next time. Thanks for playing. Who knows? We'll see if we do more of this on Johnstown Road. All right. See you later.